It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
LSU with Carter. PHL Nation, type B for basketball, type F for football. If you had to choose one or the other to play at LSU, would you rather be a football player or a basketball player? I think at LSU, I would rather be a football player, but in the long run, I would rather be a basketball player. There's so many different ways you can go pro. You play for so much longer. You don't get your brains beat in either. We welcome in Jerome Van in here on a glorious Wednesday. But for Trey Dad's Green, he's going to get to play both. He is playing both at LSU. He's playing football and basketball. It's kind of wild. It's not totally unprecedented. We've seen plenty of LSU players play two sports, more so football and baseball. Obviously, Spencer Ware, Chad Jones, Jared Mitchell, and so on and so on. We've even seen LSU players play baseball and basketball. Of course, the absolutely positively great Ben McDonald. I would much rather be a professional basketball player than a football player because a guy by the name of OG Anunoby just got a max contract in basketball, and OG Anunoby will never even get close to being an NBA All-Star in the weaker Eastern Conference. Basketball players just have better contracts. Football players don't have as long a career. I think if you were to go to Leonard Fournette right now, who accomplished basically almost everything you can accomplish in football, and you ask him, hey, would you rather be an NBA player? He would tell you, I'd rather be an NBA player because he would still be playing professionally now at the highest level. Basketball is just an easier sport, and Trey Dad's Green is 6'7", and he's got some basketball chops. Now, he is a way higher-rated football player, as he is a top 50 football player going into next year. Some people view him as a five-star recruit. I do think, though, from the football vantage point, there is a curve for him developmentally as a tight end, because obviously in high school, he was mostly just a glorified receiver. So will he be able to block? Will he be able to play some inline for LSU next year? Hopefully he can, to give Mason Taylor a good backup. Obviously, some of you are big Mac Markway fans. I like him as well. You're more traditional tight end. And then you still have Kamarion Pimpton, who showed out in the spring game and is also a freak athletically. So it's going to be very interesting for Trey Dad's Green, as he is playing both sports at LSU. Not really a shock, though. Not really a shock. Now, this is still the biggest story in the SEC. So Jim Schlossnagel made it official today. He is the Texas Longhorns baseball coach. It is newsworthy considering LSU will be in the market for some of these transfer Texas A&M baseball players. The portal closes next week. But I'm here to tell you, I freaking hate snakes. I freaking hate them. And Jim Schlossnagel might be the biggest snake I've ever seen in college athletics, ever. But it was causing me to think a little bit earlier. And this is going to come off so wrong. It really is, okay? But it's just the truth. And I understand that it is going to get clipped. And people are going to hate me for this, and that is okay. But fans and alumni care more about the particular school they are cheering for than the players and coaches themselves. And that's just how it is. It used to not be like this, but now that everyone views every last school as a business or as an opportunity to further your playing career, it's just how it is. It's just how it is. Because if that were the case, players would never transfer. If they really, really loved it as much as you did, players would never transfer. Now, are there some players that remain loyal and love the brand more than you do? Sure. But most just do not care. They care about what is best for them. That's not me saying that they don't play hard. That's not me saying they don't train hard or they don't do the right thing. But if you're at a school and you're not playing, you're going to go to a school where you think you could play more, or you go to a school where you could play more with the portal being the way that it is now. You are always going to love the school more than the coaches and the players themselves. It's just how it is, right? I don't even think that that's controversial. That, once again, that's not me saying that players do not care about the schools. Not at all. But I could tell you that there are quite a few LSU players that loved LSU through and through and had family members play for LSU, and they transferred because they felt their playing time opportunity was better at another school. Okay, so the truth is, whether I were to come to you and say, hey, you're an LSU fan, if I were to give you $100,000, would you become a Tennessee fan? A lot of you would do it. Okay, but that's just not reality. You love your school more than the players and the coaches. And this was the exact situation that happened at Texas. If you really, really love Texas A&M, a coach would never leave Texas A&M after losing the national championship game to go to Texas. Players wouldn't leave Texas A&M to go to Texas. Okay? So that's just how it is. That's just how it is. Loyalty isn't what it meant to be. Now, have there always been snakes, players and coaches? Yes, but it's a lot easier to leave schools at the altar than it ever has been before. Okay. A&M, I cannot believe I feel sorry for them. They got sleezed. They got absolutely screwed, hosed. Now, what I would also say, and S. Young makes a very good point here. Garrett Nussmeier loved LSU. Now, that is a guy that really, really, really does love LSU. But at the same time, if he was a third stringer at LSU in year four of his career, he probably wouldn't be here. You understand what I'm saying? It's always going to be like that. The most important thing for a player is to play. Okay? It's just how it is. And I say that for sympathy for the athlete, because there have been quite a few LSU players, a lot, who I know love LSU as much as me and as much as you, but they've left because of playing time, because of opportunity, because of scheme fit and all those things. So you're always going to do what's best for you. And Jim Schlossnagel definitely did that. He definitely did that. Now, who are the players that LSU will go get? That Jace kid, the outfielder, Lavietta, whatever, is the number one player in the transfer portal. He was once committed to LSU. Could he be the three-hole hitter for LSU next year? I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, every single one of those Texas A&M baseball players, if they were to enter the portal and they go to Texas, they have no backbone. They have absolutely no backbone. Okay? They have no backbone. Don't do it. Don't do it. But look, I'm also here to say that if you really do love LSU and you want to make it work and LSU still wants you to be there, stay. I'm telling you, there's not many schools that take care of their athletes better than LSU. There's just not in all sports. I truly do feel that way. But look, I like I said, you know, one guy that I have been very defensive of in the portal era, a guy who I know loves LSU, is Lance Hurd. And I know I defended him last night because the event we're doing on Saturday is where I interviewed Lance Hurd. I'm always going to defend him. He was not going to play this year. He was not going to start. He would have played, but he would not have started. He went to Tennessee to start. And Tennessee gave him a lot of money to come start, to come play. Who's to say he can't come back, rejoin LSU, the school that he loves, the very next year? That is a very plausible scenario. That's why you have never seen me say really anything bad about Lance. That was a pretty straightforward situation. Now, is he going to come back next year? I don't know. But ultimately, players are going to do what they feel is best. All I ask is don't go to a school's rival. Don't go. Don't go. You can go to any school. There's over 100 Division I Power 5 schools. Don't go to the rival. Don't go to the rival. I'm telling you, these Texas A&M players go to Texas, they should be banished. Their eligibility should be zapped. That is not what college athletics is about. So, what are we going to give away here? We got a lot of stuff to give away. So, got this Darryl Williams card. First $20 super chat gets a Darryl Williams card autographed in the mail. Let's see what else we're going to. How about we do this? This man had a huge weekend this past weekend. It's actually one of my favorite cards because I knew this guy. Steven Ridley. We'll give out a Steven Ridley autograph card. Steven Ridley got married this past weekend. Congratulations to one of the legendary clutch LSU running backs. Steven Ridley autograph card. We'll give it out. $20 super chat gets a Ridley auto. This is on card autograph. Actually, it's a really, really, really nice one. Press pass auto. By the way, don't forget, I'm doing free card consultations. Thanks to our friends at nooffseason.com. This Saturday, the PHL get together is at the Arklet Tech Sports Card and Memorabilia Show. We are giving out an autographed Will Campbell jersey to the first person that shows up. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Broadmoor Methodist Church, 3715 Uri Drive in Shreveport. Let's go to Skyler. Everybody, welcome Skyler to the channel. Look, he's got a professional backdrop. Is that? Who is that in the backdrop of the sports show? Nice pink tie. Let's see. It looks kind of like Reuben Randall or Demetrius Byrd. I know it's a throwback. That would be throwing you back quite a bit, Skyler. It is a wide receiver, though. I could tell. Oh, it's BTJ, who also is a dual sport athlete. I should have gone BTJ younger. It's wild because you don't see a whole lot of basketball, football crossover. You don't. So it's just rare. Normally you just focus on one at the collegiate level. Does anyone know the last basketball, football crossover at LSU? I really don't know. I was going to look it up. I got caught up in my chat. I said Chad Jones' research. I'm doing a pretty big Drew Brees video on my NFL channel. But It's hard. It's definitely one of the harder ones because basketball season is meshed in with football season. So someone go look this up. Who was the last basketball football crossover at LSU? I mean, there's so many baseball ones. Spencer Ware was the last one, I think, baseball football crossover, unless there was another one. Has there ever been a basketball football? I mean, there has to have been, right? I know there's been quite a few at Arkansas, and it could be a little bit different, though, because one of my friends was one of them. Let's see. So Jordan Toles also was on the LSU basketball team. I didn't know that. I really did not know that. Yeah, he transferred out, and he's currently with the Ravens. Transferred to Morgan State, I believe. I did not know Jordan Toles played basketball. Should have been Shaq. What an offensive tackle. Huh? Did C-Web play basketball? Most say Brian Thomas Jr. could have played basketball at LSU as well. BTJ. And he was a really good high school basketball player. Weston Davis, who's coming in this next class, was a really good high school basketball player as well. Jack Besh played high school basketball. I mean, a lot of these guys played high school basketball. A lot. So, you know, would I have preferred Trey Des just play football? Probably. But I think it's kind of cool as well. I want to see how far he can push it. Now, we say hi to Sibley, who probably is excited. Schlossnagel is here. All right. Four of the Aggies' best players are coming to Texas. We'll get ugly, but this is what the people wanted, so we have it. Let's go to L.A. Chris, who's back in the fray. Good to have you back, man. Chances of Antoine committing back to LSU, do you think he's going to pause? That was kind of a forced pause. You knew what you were doing. You had to type out pause and send. Not quite the same. Yeah, there's been a crystal ball already put in for him to come back. You know, it's just not. That's why I don't do as much day-to-day recruiting. Khalik Lockett announced his commitment date is coming up on August 7th. He does have LSU in his final five. That actually just broke. And I really, really do like Khalik Lockett. I do think he's really, really good. He's probably the second best receiver I've seen behind DeCorian Moore. Okay. Ori Williams was a basketball star as well. Welcome in, Ori. We say out of Tyler, who I'm getting to see on Saturday. Pretty pumped up about that. Archie Manning was a better shortstop than quarterback. Interesting. Could you imagine the Mannings as baseball players? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Now, I understand most of you are still reacting to the NCAA stadium ranking, and I got a fun message from a Discordian that was mad that I put Florida number one. That was the loudest stadium I've ever been in. Still, my most eclectic LSU football memory is 2022 LSU Alabama. That is my most eclectic. You know, Clemson 2019, I was there. I felt pretty good that we were going to win that game. I mean, 2022 LSU Alabama was like just totally unexpected what happened that night. Totally unexpected. But I'll tell you this. Should LSU be number one? Probably, considering every single national media member said LSU deserved to be number one. Every single one. It's interesting. Now, something else as far as LSU football is related. I want to chat a little bit more about, I say a little bit more, we haven't really gone into the defensive side of the football. You know, one player who I wouldn't say I'm concerned about, but it is interesting when it comes to fit, how is it going to work out? And that person is Harold Perkins. And I go back to how the entire situation was handled last year. And I do think a piece of me wondered if that heavily influenced Matt House's really bad defensive coaching last year. Now, what's very interesting about the defense under Matt House is the games where Harold Perkins was otherworldly also happened to be the games that Matt House was really, really, really good. Okay. And this past year, Harold Perkins was not otherworldly like he had been his true freshman year. A lot of change. One, obviously, was B.J. Ojulari left. And one guy who is very underrated was Micah Baskerville. Those two guys left, and our defense fell apart. Now, there were some other pieces that left, like an Ollie Gay and obviously the secondary, but more so focusing on the front seven, we lost those key pieces, right? And what I think happened to Matt House was and look at me defending Matt House. One thing I'll always defend him for, though, is you decided during the last offseason that your linebacker duo was going to be Omar Spates and Harold Perkins. And based on what I gathered, those two had good springs. Those two had good falls. They were very, and I mean very confident that these two were going to be good pieces. Like, it was shocking that the linebacker play was so poor for LSU last year. And we need it to be better. So now you lose Omar Spates and a guy who also was very up and down was Greg Penn. So now you have a linebacker duo that is questionable. Now, is it going to work out? I think it will, because I think Blake Baker is a better linebackers coach than what Matt House is. And I also think Blake Baker is smart enough that if it's not working with Harold Perkins in the absolute first game, don't totally bail on the plan after one game. And I think that's partially why the defense went into a tailspin. And there was a lot of other things. Obviously, as Cole points out, Greg Brooks going out was just massive from a leadership standpoint, continuity standpoint, on so many other things. But yeah, you know, I felt that there was just a lot of distraction with the defense towards the beginning of the season. And I think the Florida State game broke them after one game. Now, were there signs that Matt House defensively was starting to fall apart in 2022? Yeah, because Georgia and Texas A&M torched him. So, you know, for me going into this next year, will LSU remain committed to Harold Perkins playing a little bit more of an off-ball linebacker role? That's yet to be seen. But there are still plenty of people out there that believe Harold Perkins – is an edge player, even though he's not really your prototypical edge body. Should be interesting. And it does worry me. It really does. And this is coming from one of his biggest fans. Harold Perkins, since I've been giving out grades defensively on Patreon and just in general, he is still the highest graded prospect that I have ever seen come into LSU. Ever. And it's really not close. He is still the best. Athletically, tape, all those things. But I am worried. I am worried. I'm not going to say that I don't think he's going to be good. He is going to be good just by his pure playmaking ability. But will he be comfortable? Should be interesting to see. Let's go to LA Chris, former PHL guest Tylan Singleton, who I actually interviewed at the last PHL get-together. Any word on Tylan Singleton and how he's doing? I think he's doing great. I do. Once again, I would actually compare Tylan Singleton a little bit to Harold Perkins because he is a bit of a tweener. But honestly, Tylan is very similar to that of Tre'Davious Green, but on the defensive side of the football. What is his best position? Is he a safety? Is he a hybrid linebacker type? I feel he's better served as a linebacker. And I think he's going to be really good. I do. Let's go to Victor. The defensive line stunk last year. Now, this is where it gets difficult. How bad was the LSU defensive line last year? Well, they did lose Mekhi Wingo, and that was a big deal. That was a big deal. Were they just downright atrocious? No. I think of the units, you can make a case that that was the best. But they still weren't great. Now, you do return Deshaun Womack, who comes in with a lot of hype. You also have Braden Swenson, who, according to Pro Football Focus, is a top five returning edge in the SEC. You also have some interesting players, such as Gabriel Relaford, Dylan Carpenter. You also returned Savion Jones, Paris Shand. It's a deep room. It's a very deep room, scholarship-wise. But will it be a great room? I don't know. I do think, though, part of it is coaching. And last year, they didn't have a real defensive line coach. So, there you go. Now, Bullfrog, don't come in here trolling. Stop. If he did, I mean, don't play with me right now. He could have, though. I mean, I don't know. I'm mostly focused in on you guys. Now, I've had a few of you send me this. Let me make sure I get the reporter's name correctly. I'm not going to get the reporter's name. His name is Jace McKeven or something. And he said that the best transfer of the Texas A&M class, Jace Lavietti or whatever. I don't know how to say his name. I don't. I want to get this reporter's name correctly. But I'm not. I was trying to find it. So, I mean, I had to. Don't, for real, don't do that. I mean, I'll block you next time you do something like that. Like, as I was about to say, I would like to consider myself somewhat decently plugged into the Bryce Underwood situation or commitment. I would be shocked. I would be very shocked. But it's also part of the reason why I don't get plugged in. You know, the only reason I am is because I met him, interviewed him at the spring game. So, you know, like, well, literally my heart's saying because you're not a troll, but I'm going to double check from now on. You better actually, if you don't super chat by the end of this live stream, I'm blocking you. That's how mad that just made me. We go to Dorian. So it's Jace Laviolette. All right. First off, F. Schlossnagel, because I had the under in the College World Series, and he moved Laviolette from right field to center field, and he wasn't able to rob the home run that eventually cost me the over or the under, whatever. But there's a reporter out there who says Jace Laviolette is in play for LSU. Now, I am not the baseball guy. I have told you that a gazillion times. But I would be shocked if he picks LSU. Now, I understand. He was once committed to LSU. I totally get that. And I understand this dude is really freaking good. And he would take our team to the next level. I just do not believe, based on conversations that I've had today, that he is going to LSU. I don't. Would I like it? Yes. Do I think he should go to LSU? Yes. He should not go to Texas. You don't do that to your fans. You don't do that. Texas A&M fans would have a lot of respect for you if you go to LSU. That's not Texas A&M's rival. You go to Texas, follow the coach, they should never let you back into College Station again. So, look, would I like Jace Laviolette to come to LSU? Sure. But one reporter said, look, LSU is what he's hearing, basically. I think he's going to Texas. It feels like that. And if he does, I lost all respect for you, man. You don't need to follow a snake, man. You don't need to follow a snake. Now, this was a message from Tyler. I said, Carter, will there be baseball cards or is it just football cards this Saturday? Well, Tyler, I hope you actually comment in the stream. I don't mind getting Twitter or Instagram messages. But yeah, there will be every single type of card that you could think of this weekend. There might be some Quidditch cards. Hell. Okay. Just come to the show. Now, I was on Rustin Radio earlier today with my buddy Sean Fox. He was on with me a few weeks ago. And Sports Talk 97.7, really good station and network in Rustin and Monroe. Okay, so I was on with Foxy, and he reminded me of something that was pretty wild. I would consider myself a pretty nice NBA fan. I love my Pelicans. This was my favorite NBA playoffs in a while. I love the league, love the stars, hate the structure. Honestly, hate a lot of things about the NBA. And I bitch about it all the time, but I grew up as my favorite league. But as I've gotten older, there's a lot of stuff that just pisses me off. Now, I say all of that because I had no earthly idea that the NBA draft was tonight. None. And I really do think one of the more underrated things when it comes to professional sports is collegiate sports. I just don't know any of these guys. Like a few of these guys I know, Dalton Connect, Zach Edey, Dillingham from Kentucky, Reed Shepper from Kentucky. I know some of these guys. But Alex Saar, what? I'm not saying he's not good. I don't know any of these guys. And I freaking love the NBA. But whether it be G League Unite or whatever the case may be, the college brands move needles, okay? We've seen it with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. They played for two pretty big college brands. And the NCAA tournament took them to another level. Freaking love college sports. And I kid you not, the NFL is the biggest thing. Nothing comes close to the NFL. Nothing. But one thing the NFL has is every single one of those players played college football. Every single one. There is no G League Unite of the NFL. 99% of the players play college football. We say hi to Sherry. What's up, Sherry Berry? Good to have you back. Carpet shelf, yes. Slosh is the biggest snake I've ever seen. Will Jalen Cook get drafted? I don't even know if he's in the draft. But, yeah, I thought it was Thursday. I really did. I really, really, really did. But that's it. I mean, if you don't know the guys, well, what are you going to do? Now, because it is a Wednesday live stream, I'm really going to try and keep it for an hour here. I'm going to try and actually go on a run after this, which is probably going to be ugly. But in the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep the party going. Still looking for that first super chat. Once again, in honor of the man getting married this weekend, first $20 super gets an on-card Stephen Ridley autograph. Natchez, Mississippi, stand up. If you prefer, I actually just grabbed a stack of my collection here. If you prefer Ronald Martin, we could do that as well. There's a deep cut. Yeah, it would be very nice to have Ronald Martin back in our secondary. How about Leonard Marshall? This is back in Sibley's day. Sibley probably knows him. Leonard Marshall. This is one of my favorites. I don't have many autos of Mr. Matt Flynn. I'll give it out. Can't beat a Matt Flynn auto. How many stars does Green have for basketball? I think he's a 3-star basketball prospect. Let me see. Let's see. Oh, it's interesting. He is unranked for basketball, according to 247. Let me see. I don't know. Prep Hoops has him as prospect number 54 nationally. So that would make him a firm four-star. I don't know. It's really tough to say. Yeah, I remember going down a rabbit hole trying to figure out it's something to do with like transfers or whatever. Brian Turner actually knows the full story. He shared it with me. I've kind of forgotten it. But I wonder if his decision to play basketball at LSU was swayed by that. Because it's kind of tough to just play a sport that you loved your whole life and then have it ripped away from you. Maybe he was going into the final year of his basketball career saying, okay, I'm going to play this final year and then go play football, and then you have it ripped away from you. But I don't know. I honestly don't. I've watched some of his basketball highlights. They're good, obviously, but I don't know how good of a basketball player he is. I really don't. Okay, so this is from Ashley Slow. She's not a reporter, so I'm not going to share that. Not going to share that. More Schlossnagel. I can't get enough of the story, though. It is just perfect amount of college-level sleaziness. Perfect. One that just gets the juices flowing. Now, let's see. Next week, we'll start going game by game, doing some previews of how I feel about each and every team. I've already done like some minor kind of sort of scouting reports. It's still kind of early, but kind of close. We are getting closer to the day. Whew. USC, 7:30 on a Sunday. You know, one team I really started to go down the rabbit hole with is actually Florida. You know, there is a piece of me that thinks, let's just say Florida fires Billy Napier before we get to the game, which is possible. I would put it at probably like a 5-ish% chance that he isn't the coach for the LSU-Florida game later this year. Could we see a world where they're not even starting Graham Mertz, their starter, but they're actually starting their 5-star true freshman quarterback, DJ Lagway, who was the highest-ranked quarterback in this last cycle? You know, it cost him a pretty penny. Do you want to see what you have, per se? I think it's possible. I think it's doable. I think you could see a world where DJ Lagway is actually the guy that you play that week. It could be the case. Now, one more team that stuck out to me when I started to do my schedule evaluation as one that could be a little tricky, I'll tell you who it is right after this.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. And that team, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Now, why do they concern me? Well, I don't think they're that good. I think they got a lame duck coach. But it is a clear trap spot, look-ahead spot. You have played a big game versus Ole Miss. I think LSU is going to win. And then you have a look-around spot here versus Texas A&M. But you have to go to Arkansas. Right? LSU has never really played their absolute best in Fayetteville. Could be cold during that time of the year. It's not going to be as cold as it was a few years ago. But tough spot, and you're going up against an athletic 6'7" freak at quarterback in Talen Green, who I think is going to be semi-decent.
Okay.
So there you go. That team, I cover them closely on the SEC channel. It's interesting. Now, what I want to do is share something earlier today. And I understand some of you are more patriotic than others. Some of you are USA, USA, USA. I love my country. And I get more patriotic during the Olympics because I'm just such a big sports fan. But I'm not like USA. It's just not really my thing. However, what happened earlier today was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And for those that don't know, I'm going to let you in on something here at the end of this train. Japan. Japan beat our ass in football today. The Japanese, 41-20 was the final score. Beat our asses. Japan. Now, I understand football is any given Sunday, or in this case, any given Wednesday. But there is not a world where Japan should destroy us in American football. American eating? Sure. Kobayashi? Sure. There's a lot of sports where Japan could beat us. A lot. But not American football. Those players for America, and I think it's a U-20 team or whatever. I understand that they're kids. You better not let me know your identity. You better not let me know, because if I learn of an LSU player that was on the field today when Japan beat us 41-20. And I watched part of the game. They were running. They were just smash mouth football. Yeah, they could be trick play here, trick play there. No, they were just running simple trap right up the gut, just destroying our asses. Shouldn't be allowed. Shouldn't be allowed. Pooh, what's good? Cole said he found nosebleed tickets for Vegas for $150. Yeah, you should go, man. We're doing a PHO meetup. I'm going. Can't believe I'm going. I'm going. Oh, I'm fired the freak up, man. I am living my absolute best life today. Had a great day. One of the neighborhood came over and kids came over and played me in FIFA. Working on my Drew Brees deep dive that will make Drew Brees look a lot better. I'm so sick and tired of seeing the all-time greatest quarterbacks discussed, and Drew Brees never gets his fair shake because he didn't win an MVP. Whew. Now, to me, the greatest quarterback of all time is Peyton Manning. That is my number one guy. That's my GOAT. But objectively, most would say Brady because he owns all the records and he has the most Super Bowls. He played the longest, and that's fine. You could say Tom Brady. Most people would agree with you. I'm not saying Drew Brees is better than any of them, either one of them, because he's not. I think he's a tier below. But is Drew Brees better than Aaron Rodgers? Yes. Yes. I've gone back and forth. He's better than Aaron Rodgers. And he's better than any other modern era quarterback. Now, will Mahomes probably pass Drew Brees here in a few years? Probably so. Could Josh Allen? Yes. Joe Burrow? Yes. Yes. Lamar Jackson? Yes. I know Aaron Rodgers has four MVPs. I've never really been an AR guy. Taking Drew Brees 12 times out of 10 over Aaron. Yeah, we just talked about you, BT. He actually sent me all the details about why Trades couldn't play basketball last year. It has something to do with like recruiting, right? So he was at East Feliciana, and he was supposed to he transferred over to Zachary, and they let him transfer in football, but they wouldn't let him transfer in basketball. Why would you let him transfer in football but not in basketball? I don't know. I guess the rules are different there. Mahomes has been past Drew Brees. Yeah, you can make that case. You can make that case. But he's just got a lot of career left. You know, like I understand Mahomes' peak is way better than Drew Brees. You know, Mahomes cost Drew Brees his only MVP in 2018. Some would say Brees should have gotten it in 2011. But, you know, do I really want to put Mahomes ahead of Brees when Brees has, like, Mahomes has been elite every year he's been a starter. So, what, that's 6 years total? Or 5 years total, whichever it may be. Drew Brees was an elite NFL quarterback for nine years. Okay. I that's just tough. Like Mahomes has been what a starter 5 or 6 years, whichever one it's been. Drew Brees has 5,000 yards passing seasons. And that doesn't include all the other seasons. So one thing and this is what I'm discussing on the NFL channel. One thing that's very underrated in the Drew Brees all-time quarterback discourse is the Los Angeles Rams games. Now, was it Drew Brees' fault that the Saints got screwed by the worst call in NFL history? Yes, it is his fault because, you know, if he hits Michael Thomas on the first down play, the game's over. And Drew Brees horribly underthrew him. It was just a simple slant. Make that throw, and there were still chances for us to win that game, the Saints, and they weren't able to do it. With that said, though, I would also say that he still got screwed. And what is very interesting, and I went through and I looked through all of this today, Drew Brees is the only NFL quarterback who was two games over 500 versus Tom Brady outside of Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson only played him twice. I'll repeat it again. Drew Brees is the only quarterback that is two games over 500 versus Tom Brady. Now, are there other quarterbacks who are really good against Brady? Yes, obviously Eli Manning. Peyton Manning in the playoffs was 3-2 versus Brady. But the only all-time great quarterback that really took it to Brady more often than not was Drew Brees. He has 5-3 career versus Brady. 5-3 in the NFL. Now they have one college matchup. I won't include that. But 5-3. 5-3 versus Brady. And one of those wins was a last-second win by Brady in Foxborough versus the Saints. So, that final Super Bowl versus Peyton Manning or versus Tom Brady. If Drew Brees wins that game versus Tom Brady in that Super Bowl, and the Saints probably would have been favored. I mean, they were the best team in the league that year. If Drew Brees wins that game, he would have been 2-0 in Super Bowls versus the two best quarterbacks of the generation. And the entire narrative around him is just totally different. But only one Super Bowl and only one appearance honestly changes a whole lot when it comes to Drew. It does. And I understand it's all about the team over an individual player. And all-time great conversations don't mean anything. Actual Super Bowls do. But it did shift the narrative quite a bit. The Saints were, to me, the best team in the NFL. The Rams were not. And that's why they got beat 13-3 in the Super Bowl. Drew Brees head-to-head dominated Tom Brady. He just did. He just did. And no other quarterback can really say that. Tom's got pretty much every quarterback in head-to-head. Pretty much. Now, we'll take a few more here. Shakari Richardson, shout out to her. And that'll do it for me. We'll be live tomorrow night. There's a lot of sports happening tomorrow night. So we might go live at 6. Just be on the lookout for that. No super chatters today. That's okay. Don't forget. Once again, I'll be upfront with you. I've received $0 to promote this event. I go on my own dime. Arklatex Sports Cards and Memorabilia Show this Saturday, 10 a.m. until 4. It's just really that fun of an event. And Hayden Travinsky will be there. And we're giving out some Will Campbell autographs. So get there early. All right. Big thanks to all of you. I'll be chatting in the PHL Discord. I'm about to go on a long run. It is Power Hour. LSU. Boom. Tyler, you are going. I'm calling your boss. Tyler, you've been to like every one of these. I'm calling your boss. Because we've got to chill, bro. I still got my Mo Claiborne jersey you gave me over here. Tonight, we're doing this Mediterranean lamb burger. It's good. Let's go. Let's go.